This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Last summer, we read about a Buddhist couple who truly defines the concept of togetherness. When they eat, they share a plate. When they read, they share a book. Well, last summer, my old radio soulmate Alex Chadwick and I talked with another couple that tried something like that. Slate's David Plotz and his wife, Hannah Rosen, spent 24 hours never separated by more than 15 feet. Hannah realized from the start, it wasn't going to be easy.
Well, you know, I had stuff that I do that I don't even think about doing. Namely, I put little things away. It's like the thing the wife does at night. It's like, you know, the child's shoe here on my bed and a gong in this case, like my son's gong. And so I just sort of run around frantically and put them away while David sits in bed and reads whatever he's reading. And so David...
Well, David takes care of other things.
No. David is very, very super helpful, highly helpful, excellent domestic. You wouldn't even see the gong. And so I make David, who's already like snuggled in the bed, you know, doing his nighttime snuggleness, say, get up and follow me around. And so which he says, this is annoying the whole time. So that's how the experiment began. It was not auspicious.
Yeah, so much for, you know, Buddhist mindfulness.
David, I get this when you're describing your morning starting off, where Hannah, to your complete surprise, actually goes through a routine of hair and makeup and selecting. And, you know, you all have been married for quite some time. You had no idea that she does this every single day.
Yes, there's a period in the morning when Hannah is upstairs, you know, I assume getting dressed. And so I was just sitting around in the bedroom waiting for her. And I discovered that, for example, she doesn't get dressed once. She gets dressed several times. She tries on many different outfits. And then there's a whole series of creams and emollients and powders and so forth, which I didn't even know existed that are in our bathroom that she uses.
Well, this is why you wouldn't have seen the gong.
Enhance her natural beauty.
Can I jump in here? I mean, routine and many is extremely exaggerated. It's hardly a routine. Like, that's what ladies do. I don't have, like, a dressing room in which I, you know, luxuriously go through my clothes like Tyra Banks and, like,
I'm not really criticizing you, Hannah. I'm just saying it was a surprise, even after we've been married for 11 years, to discover your morning routine, because I've just never tuned into it. There was no need to pay attention to it.
Right.
So then after you guys, you get dressed and go through all your morning rituals, you then go to David's office at Slate, and Hannah, you discover a little secret of your own about David.
Yes, the minute we get, the first thing David does when he gets to the office is head for the refrigerator and make sure that there's a cold Fresca in the refrigerator. Now, there are so many levels on which this was surprising to me. Like, A, David's like a food snob, you know, he's, you know, food, the natural and the farmer's market. So the idea that it's not even 10 a.m. and he's having a cold soda is sort of a surprise to me. So I'm happy to learn that. And B, David like has a prima donna fit because somebody has forgotten to put the cold, and he's like heat coming off of his body. He's so angry about the fact that nobody put a Fresca.
But it's not.
First of all, who drinks Fresca? I mean, to go back even further, Fresca, isn't that like a 1991?
It's a delicious citric soda. It's a office courtesy when you finish the soda to replace the soda, and no one had replaced the Fresca. So I was upset about
this
the Fresca.
This is where knowledge. I just say the word Fresca.
I'm sweating.
David still goes through the whole routine again. Like, it's, you know, this is not knowledge in Buddhism. I think you're supposed to sort of learn and have self knowledge. But I bet in 10 years, if I just say Fresca, David will launch into this tirade.
But there was one moment I thought of shared consciousness, which was that Hannah, when we came into the office at Slate, Hannah got into conversation with a colleague of mine who has children at the same school as our daughter. And I had had exactly the same conversation with this colleague a day earlier. And so it was actually really very tedious to me, especially because all I wanted to do was get started on the workday. As I stood there tapping my feet, as an act of will, I said, you know what? This is the experiment, is to try to be with Hannah and feel how she's thinking and take the pleasure in the conversation that she was having. And I found that it was a moderately successful venture.
Hannah, were you thinking, I need to have this conversation? Or were you thinking about David standing there kind of tapping his foot and wanting to get away?
You know, I'm going to sound really mean here. I think that there was a part of me that was doing it a little bit on purpose. I mean, he could clearly tell that he really wanted to get to his cubicle and do his thing. And so I was doing it a little bit on purpose, just a little bit.
David, there actually comes a moment. She kind of goes behind a cubicle and there's a wall between you. You're both working away there. But it's the first moment in the day when she's actually disappeared for some period of time, and suddenly, what?
It was very disconcerting. We were very close. We were only, 8 feet apart, say. But there was a barrier between us, and I found it bizarre. I was anxious.
Hannah, did you notice?
I didn't, I'm sorry to say. But, the more I hear David talk, I think, he really was fixated on the 15 feet. It's like, anxious? No, I knew David was right there. I saw him out of the corner of my eye. Like, I had no reason to be anxious. I think David was anxious because we were violating the rules of the experiment.
No, we weren't. That's so uncharitable of you. We weren't.
Okay,
that's what I was saying.
Right.
You were 8 feet away. We weren't
right,
violating
it. Right,
but
you just couldn't see me for a minute.
I couldn't see you.
Right.
We were inhabiting different worlds physically and psychologically.
Well, speaking of minds and consciousness and all that, do you feel like you got a little step closer to this Buddhist notion of mindfulness or not?
I only felt that way at the very end of the day. There is this thing that couples do at the end of the day, which is the what did you do today ritual. You might be bragging, you might be sad. I mean, it's like a narrative you're saying to your spouse, and it's not a bad thing, but it's a bit of an artificial thing. And David and I did not have to do that because we spent the whole day together, and so there was just kind of a peace descending at the end of the day. We didn't have to have that conversation except sort of psychically or spiritually. We were connected in that way without the presentation.
Would you do it again?
I would. David wouldn't, I bet.
Really?
I began this totally as a stunt, and it was very fun to do, but it was also, I really did feel like I learned something about how Hannah and I spend time together and, what I value and what I don't, and I thought it was incredibly enlightening.
9 out of 10 emails I've gotten have been people saying, ugh, yuck, like, not ugh, yuck, you guys, but ugh, yuck about their own relationship, like, no way we could get through 24 hours of this, and I don't believe it. I mean, it seems to me any couple could get through 24 hours, even if they don't believe it about themselves.
Hannah Rosin and David Plotz, right about a day, no more than 15 feet apart from each other. It's at Slate.com and Slate V. Hannah, David, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.